we're back. 155. Lucas, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
I'm good.
All is well?
Yeah, all is well over this blasted cold my two-year-old's given me. But hey, that's what everyone keeps saying to me. You have kids, you're going to have colds every 5 minutes. But she's not even at school yet. That's the worrying thing. I'm not looking forward to when she actually goes to school and mixes with like loads of oinks and then gets even iller.
Oinks.
But yeah, so yeah, just the germs going happen. Around the house, unfortunately, today, mate. But yeah. It's one of those, isn't it? It's like, as you've probably been there, it's like, right, I've got a cold, I've got a headache, I've got this, I've got that. Do I train? Do I just, you know, like try and man up and just get out there and train? Or do I, you know, and it's one of those, and it's annoying sort of cold because it's sort of pressure. So you're like, I could train, I could easily go out for a run, but is it then going to make me worse tomorrow? You know, it's like one of those, I'm in that mode.
It's a hard one. I'd say that if you're well enough to train, probably if you're going to, then change the session to make sure it's an easier
100%.
One. Don't do any hard training.
Yeah.
Don't go out and do like intervals or sprints or a hard OCR training session because you're just going to blow yourself up.
Yeah, sure.
I'd probably easy run, body weight workout, something pretty chilled, maybe even something around the house.
Yeah.
Train at home.
Yeah.
So you're a bit more, you can kind of grab some tissues and cold stuff.
Splatter over the house, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, something like that. But yeah, training while ill, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I think as general rule, if it's above the head, you can still train. If it goes below the neck, so like into your chest, then there's a good idea
chest.
Not a good clever. I might go on the bike. To be fair, I think the bike's a good chat because I can start with like half hour on the head, and then if it goes further, it goes further. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I've still got a workout in.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to do.
An easy pedal.
An easy
there
pedal.
There it is.
Indeed.
Well, talking about cold environments, you've just come from a pretty cold environment. You made a little trip over to the continent, Europe.
Yes.
And you went to Poland, didn't you?
I did. What an experience that was. Didn't really know what to expect. It was quite funny. When I got, Katie said to me, oh, I'm going to take Libby over. The idea was I was going over as a coaching role originally. I wasn't even going to race. I was going to go over, check it out, look at it out, help Libby to race, blah, 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 blah. Then it turned out she wasn't old enough. So it was like, shit.
What's the age?
So it was 16. So you have to be 16 out
there.
And as I'm finding at the minute with most European races, insurances and ages are all over the place in Europe. You know, they're very strict on their insurance and health and safety and stuff like that. So the age was 16.
Oh, yeah.
However, Katie'd already booked the flights and a hotel. Now, bearing in mind, it was only like 30 quid. So it wasn't like ridiculously like bad. And I said to her, well, tell you what, I'll buy a ticket. And I'll go and race, and you can come and support me. You know, if you still want to go out there, let's do it that way. So we made a little trip of it, really. And it was, I think Libby got a lot out of it in the sense of, like, we were able to go on the obstacles and I had to play with her afterwards. But generally, it was a case of rabbiting for me. And when I said yes, I didn't really comprehend that it would be February and snow. That process hadn't really gone into my head. It wasn't until I started looking at the website, Instagram, and previous races, and like, hold on, there's about 4 foot of snow on the floor there. What's going on here? So then I started to think, I've not really thought about my process of clothing, training. So it was sort of like, oh, shit, this race is like in a week's time. And I haven't really thought about it. But actually, I was pleasantly surprised about how well I did in the cold and my grip. And I kept saying to people, I'm warm. I'm really warm. What's going on? Like, everyone's like freezing and I'm like running around warm. Don't really suffer too much from the cold. So I wasn't too bothered about that type of thing, but it was more like literally the grip on the obstacles. Cause I've looked at some of the obstacles and they were fairly technical as you know, you've done barbarian race, haven't you? A bison race. So, you know what it's like out there. They don't tend to go, oh, here's a nice, easy multi-rig and it's a ring. You know, it's nunchucks, it's UFOs, it's balls, it's skull, it's, you know, everything you can even think of. It's on one rig, you know. And then you look at the rig and it's like 50 meters long, you're thinking, oh Christ. So we drove out, hired a car there, but the interesting was our flight got delayed. So it was like, oh, here we go. Because we were going in and out all in one day or 2 days almost. So it was like, It was a quick process, but the flight got delayed.
Tight schedule.
We sat in the airport and it was like, oh, this is not going to be our week. This is going to go horribly wrong. I just feel it happening. Then we got to the airport and the car hire was shut. So it was like, oh, for God's sake. Fortunately, there was someone there and we did manage to open up and get a car. Then we worked out that we'd actually flown to the wrong airport to what we actually thought. You know, there was a closer airport we could have had, but it doesn't matter. It was only 40 minutes down the road. Yeah. So we're driving and we're going through, we miss a turning. Bearing in mind, I'll just point out, this was like blizzards. Everything was a complete whiteout and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Katie, bless her, drove, you know, and she's a very good driver. She has driven abroad before, but you can imagine getting used to a new car on the other side of the road, all that, you know, all that panic at the initial start and worry. So we're driving like 10 miles an hour down this main road. Can't see the lines, no lights. And you've got Polish cars just like, wheel spinning, skidding, and you're like,
shit! They drive pretty fast.
Guys, if you have to slap your ankles on stop, there's no way you're stopping. You're like, you're going to take out everyone with you. They just sort of go with the gun-ho method. And I was just like, Katie, stay in this lane, just stay straight, don't go wrong, you know, just carry on. We'll get there safe. And we took a wrong turning. And we ended up in the national park, which, as you can imagine, was even – it was still the right way, but it was like the longer way and a more dangerous route. But it was
more pitch black.
Pitch black. But it was absolutely beautiful. We saw deer. Yeah. We saw – you know, it was like – it was absolutely – this is – my race – I didn't care about the race. This is already a great experience. So we did that, stayed in a hotel. Literally, I think I got about 4 hours sleep. I think I went to bed at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was up at like 9 the next morning. It was pretty rough. Quick breakfast, quick coffee, head over to the race. The only benefit is I was doing the recruit, which was like the 6K, because obviously my season's based around short stuff this year. So I didn't really want to go and do the 22K. Didn't really want to do the anything more. So I was like, right, 6K is what I'm going to aim at. That's a good distance for me. You know, it's good 40 minutes work. So 6K went off at 11 o'clock, thank God. Once I've deciphered, I even texted your wife, didn't I? I said, ooh, your girlfriend, I said, look, can you please decipher this? I've been sent loads of Polish emails. I don't understand any of it. So I sent Eloina a text.
I deciphered that for you. I thought my translation was the best.
Yeah, your translation was something like, you ginger idiot, blah, 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 blah. Not helpful, Luke. I managed to decipher that it's 11 o'clock start and I had to register before. Very similar to Spartan, little barcode. You go in, barcode it, you get given. Interestingly, though, you get given all your free goodies at that point. So rather than Spartan where you finish and then you get given your hot and your medal, it's all the way around in this place. So you get given a T-shirt, a buff, a vest, you know, lots of goodies. It was like, oh, my God. I'm like, I came out with more bags than I went in with. It was like, yeah, literally. So that was interesting note I did find there. So it was sponsorships, maybe. I mean, they were sponsored by a Cavanos company, which, as if you know me, I could be Polish just for Cavanos. It's like...
Cavanos is so good.
Oh, my God. I was so hungry at the end of the race. I was like, I've got 10 bags of Cavanos. I just sat on the way to the airport and ate loads of Cavanos and loads of Polish treats. It was great. So there was loads of cool things in this bag, like, you know, sweets and hydration tablets and energy pills and, you know, your general, you know, what I would call, you know, promotional goodies. A really nice T-shirt, a really nice vest, which would have probably been like, you know, 20, 30 quid's worth, a buff. I remember getting a buff. So, yeah, in that sense, I was well impressed about, you know, and the ticket was pence. It was like, you know, less than 30 quid for the ticket.
And you, like, so you wouldn't expect pretty reasonable
anything,
then.
Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't expect anything goodies. And to get goodies was like, actually, you know, they probably spent more in goodies, but... You know, probably price points in Poland are obviously, I think, it's a lot cheaper than it is over here at the minute. So they can probably afford to do that. But so that's the first note thing I noticed. That actually they spend a lot more time and effort in their sort of like registration process and the goodies. And there's a real good atmosphere. It was a nice warm tent. Yeah. Lots of people. Lots of what I would call, this is very stereotypical, but Polish people, ironically. But I was clearly the only British or even... you know, other European nation there, that everyone else just looked Polish. And it was like, I'm proper, like, the only person that speaks English. They all tried to speak English, obviously, but it was a great experience, actually, to be. And what I liked the most about it is that I knew one. I didn't know anyone. It was so nice just to be like, no one knows me.
Chill.
I know no one. brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. You know, like I could just go and do my own thing. If I lose miserably and get shown up, it doesn't matter. No one's going to care. So yeah, that was
pre-season race.
So I went for a little warm up. I did the thing that you should never do. I wore new shoes, so I was making sure my shoes were good, you know, because obviously the snow. I was like, shit, how's this going to hold up in the snow? But it was a good mix. The actual race was a good mix between hard packed snow and indoor, and then like light snow. So really, on the hard stuff, as you can probably imagine, any shoe is going to slip on ice. You know, you're not going to get any shoe that's going to grip on that type of thing. It's just it being just. You have to maybe change your running a little bit more cadence, you know, less risks, less jumping around. So that was a sort of a thought process of the race. It was like, right, when can I go for it? When do I need to hold back and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Really, really cool process. A bit like Spartan Europeans. They called in the names.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's about 200 people in this wave. And then about...
They called in 200.
Well, literally, I was like, this is cool. They're just calling the first five elite guys, must be, you know, like, let them get... And then it carried on. and I was like, are they literally going to call in every single name? They didn't just go, la, 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 la. They were like, hello, 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 hello. And I'm like, every single person is getting like a cheer. And then obviously because I don't quite know where I was in the list, but I was almost at the bottom. And then it was like, blah, 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 Polish, Polish, Polish. And from England, Jack Carpenter. Everyone went fucking apeshit. It was crazy. Like everyone just went, "Whoa!" I felt like I was like a hero for like 5 seconds.
Hello, and, hey,
yeah,
guys.
Literally. He was like, "Yeah, yeah, hi, yeah, hi, yeah." Thank you. But yeah, that for everyone, and it was a bit crazy. But again, just one of those things. I suppose they do. It was good fun. They were all doing chants. I obviously had no idea what they were saying. Probably taking the Mickey out of the British, probably, but. Yeah, they were doing chants. And then we got into the starting pen. It was quite a busy pen. I'd say about 200, 150 people. And the start of the race was with a, what I can only be called like a sausage bag. So it wasn't quite as heavy as a rec bag. It was like, do you remember the sausage bags they had in Tahoe that year? You know, where it was like...
Yeah, quite long, but they wrap around your neck.
Yeah, a bit awkward because when the sand goes to one end, you get that real horrible bit in the middle. And it was interesting. I looked at everyone else to see how they were carrying them. And most people are either carrying them under one arm or on one shoulder. Yeah. Whereas I'm so used to having things over like my whole shoulder and just running as best I can upright. I mean, I train with the rec bag quite a lot, so I'm used to that thing. So I was like, well, I won't be a big dick and I won't go at the front and be a dick. I'll sit back and I'll just assess the situation. Within the first 3 seconds, I realized that none of these guys were going to go. They all just sort of kept quite... like a nice pace off the line. And of course, you've probably seen the video. I go, you know, Jack with a carry. I just go. I'm just like, screw this. Let's just see who's got what. Two people followed me from my wave. There's two people followed me. I led out the whole bag carry. Basically, did a little loop. It was probably about 400 meters. A little loop, come back in. You drop your bag basically where you picked off the start corral, and then you go off and do a few more obstacles.
Nice.
Two guys came with me. As soon as I dropped the bag, I realized those two guys were runners. They literally dropped the bag and went. And I mean, I was probably doing an average, probably about 6 minute mile. They were doing like 5, 4, 30. They just went. I was like, well, I personally know I can't run at that pace. So I'm going to now get into my pace. I pretty much ran most of the race on my own after that point. I couldn't tell who was who, where was where. It was just a case of like, right, don't matter. I've not come here to podium. Well, I have, obviously, but I'm not here to, you know, if I don't do that, it doesn't bother me. I'm here to just get race experience. So I'm running along, and all the time I'm fighting that urge to, like, oh, where's Luke? Where's Scott? Where's so-and-so? You know, like, it's like, I don't know anyone. I can't do that. It's a really different type of racing. And it's a case of, no, for this, it's not. My one thing was I didn't want to fail an obstacle. I did say to some Polish guy in the start corral, I said, just a quick question. I haven't read any of the rules. If you fail, what do you do? Because I was like, I don't actually know if you fail. And he was like, you can't fail. You just have to keep doing it until you... So they had what I got. They had retrial lanes. So about 6 lanes in each rig. And then they had 2 always free for the competitive or the elite wave. And we had different colour bands on. We had green bands. So that was elite.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had 1 free for retry. So that was quite cool. And the first thing I would say, Luke... Oh my God, how good the volunteers were at making sure if you were coming through and you had a green headband, they literally like parted the sea like Moses for everyone else, because there was a lot of people on course still, like age groupers and open waivers and all different people. I mean, it was, you can imagine Spartan when they've got the super, the beast, the sprint and the trail all going at the same time, it would be mayhem. Whereas this wasn't, it was almost like organized mayhem. They knew exactly who everyone was, where everyone was, everywhere. And it was brilliant. You run up to a rig and you're like, oh shit, every lane's full. Oh my God. It was like, no, elite coming through. Wait. You know, push people off. You had a clear run every time. I didn't have to wait at one obstacle, which I thought was amazing considering, you know, the waves were huge and there was lots of races going off, all different sizes. And so, yeah, that was my first big, this race is organized well. You know, they've got everything down to a T. You know, there was two volunteers in every obstacle, nearly a volunteer in every corner almost, you know, like, because the race was very like cloverleaf. So you had your area here where all the rigs were. And I think there was 15 rigs, like 15 like technical rigs all in one area. And then you like not all together, because you basically go out, do a little bit, come back and do a rig. You go out, do a bit, come back and do a rig. And the out bits were like walls, balance beams, tire carry, bucket, you know, all those things, chains, drags, running. And then when you came in, it was like a technical obstacle, back out, technical obstacle, back out.
Okay.
So you knew every time you turned back in, you knew you were going to have to do something that was quite technical. So it was a case of right, keep your hands warm, shake your hands out, you know, get on with the obstacle. And I think a part of I was always thinking like, yeah, technical obstacles coming up, I better just like, you know, back off a little bit or speed up a little bit. But a lot of the running, it's an old fortress and I think maybe an old prison. A lot of the running was in the actual prison itself. So you'd go inside. Difference was, it was pitch black and you couldn't see a bloody thing. The amount of times I tripped over on like a curb or a door. And it's quite funny. You could hear everyone was doing it. You can imagine these rooms, they're old, like you're running down the corridor. So they're like a long way and it echoes. So if you hear someone shout, it was like echoing down the doors. No help and safety whatsoever. Like no tape, no lights. No, it was literally like, if you trip up and hit your head on that door, you're going to hit your head on that door. There was no like, you know, watch your step or mind your head. A couple of times you did that, up some stairs. I mean, one time I got all the way up this sort of like stair gate and I was like, where do I go? I literally could not see. And it was like a little, you had to climb under like I don't even know what it was, like a low ceiling and come back up and go out the other side. But I couldn't see it. And I had to wait. I turned around to the guy and I was like, where do we go? Where do we go? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh shit, I can see now. But I couldn't see at the time. My eyes hadn't adjusted. And then of course you come back outside and then it's like bright white snow. So your eyes are going, whoa, what's going on here? It's like dark light. So that did play a little bit of havoc with, you know, just getting used to it, you know, occasionally. Like I say, for me, it was just a case of like, okay, try and keep a nice run pace up. Let's just try and stay competitive. And then all the obstacles try and complete. Anyway, I'm going along at about halfway into this race. It's longer than 6K, by the way. It was more like 36 mile. But anyway, that is what it is. Running in this race and I'm like, hold on, that's the guy that overtook me on the sandbag carry. Like, I'm now catching seconds. So I'm like, by the way, I'm running a third at this point. I'm like, right, now it's my aim to try and chase him down. And we got to this, and it can only be described as like Twister. And I think Peter Brown have got one, but with nunchucks on it. So it's like a spiral with nunchucks.
Yeah. So like a straight pole with...
Yeah, basically. Billy Big Bollocks here gets up to this. Everyone else is just sort of like one-handed it through. Fuck it, I'm jumping out of this bad boy. I'm going to jump out. I'm feeling confident. I jump out, I grab, and then the thing... No. I stay there. So I'm good. But I'm looking at the bell. I'm going, right, I've got to get that bell now. And I'm like, I can't swing and hit it. I've got to do a couple more nunchucks before I get there. Oh, my God. I must have messed it up so badly. I mean, I got through it, but it was like, I've done this really cool jump out and grab. That looks sweet as anything. And then I'm like...
I'm stuck.
You know, like when you, you go, like you doubt yourself for a few seconds. Like, have I got the grip now? You know, it was wet, it was icy, it was cold. I've jumped out. I've made myself look like a big dick. Everyone's looking at me, and I think in the race, I just went shit, quick, get up, do it. But I managed to overtake number two, and then we literally had this neck and neck race for the last sort of like 2 miles, where he would run ahead, get to the obstacle. I'd beat him through the obstacle. Then he'd run ahead, get to the, and it was like boom, 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 boom. So, but like I say, a really good race in the sense of technical obstacle, going out, doing something else, coming back in, technical obstacle. I failed one obstacle, which I had to repeat twice, and it was a 12-foot inverted wall. Oh my God. I looked at it and I was like, yeah, that's doable. I could see all these people doing it. I ran at it as hard as I could for the first time and I jumped up and I missed it by about that much. I was like, you bastard.
Oh.
So back down, run at it again, missed it by about that much. I was like, you bastard. Third time I got it. But it was like one of those that, you know, every time you do it, you're like, I'm getting closer, but you're wearing yourself out. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it tires you out.
But it was like a 12-foot wall, but it's just a very, very slight incline. So you had nothing really to run and get at, you know?
Yeah.
But nice. Great obstacle, simple obstacle, but like just a real mindfuck, as I would say. Wow.
12 yeah, foot's pretty high.
It is high. It is, you know, like, what am I, 5 foot, 10, so not even 6 foot, so it's double the height of me. And you've got to sort of run on ice and jump up, then pull yourself up. So I did fail that twice, or once and then did it. So but everything else, I had a clean run, which was kind of nice. And the very end, like an ice dunk at the end. But by that point, it didn't really matter because it was like you finished, so it wasn't really that much of a problem. But
mate,
massive pluses. The organisation of that race was incredible, you know, and I felt welcome. So had a good chat to the CEO at the end, like the guy that owned the race. He came over and spoke to us. You know, really nice guy. Would very much recommend. And to be fair, if I'd had more time in Poland, I probably would have gone out the next day and done the longer race. There was a 22K the next day, which looked like it took in more of the other side of where we were in the army barracks. And there was a lot more obstacles, like a, you know. But it's the first race, I said on the way home, I said, it's the first race I've done where I haven't had to do monkey bars or rope climb. You know,
no rope climb.
Most staple OCR races have a set of monkey bars and a rope climb, and this didn't.
Of course. I would 100% say they are your guaranteed obstacles.
Yeah.
You're going to find three guaranteed obstacles at mostly every OCR race.
Yeah.
A wall.
Yeah.
A rope.
Yeah.
And monkey bars.
Yeah.
So very interesting, very interesting.
But that's interesting because they didn't have a normal wall. They only had the 12-foot lean-to wall. And they didn't have no rope and they had no monkey bars. So that's just maybe, you've said it, maybe it's a UK thing. And that's probably why we are so far behind in the OCR scene, that actually we haven't expanded. We haven't gone, right, we need these harder obstacles. Because the rest of that race was challenging. You know, it was, you had to think, you couldn't just, unlike Spartan, I know we all say, oh, Spartan obstacles are easy. Yes, don't get me wrong, under fatigue, any obstacle can be quite challenging. You know, especially your twisters, your ape hangers, you know, especially to the general person. But this race, you had to think about every single hand movement, hand placement, what you're going to do. You know, could you jump out? Did you have to play safe? You know, and I feel like maybe in the UK we need more of that. You know, I think Nuts, especially looking at, and we'll talk about it in a bit, Nuts this weekend, they look like they're adding a few more technical obstacles, which is great. Mm-hmm. I think anything to challenge the sort of the more competitive athlete. And I appreciate a lot of people out there do it more for fun. And what's even ironic is there seem to be a lot of people out there doing this race for fun as well. I mean, the actual competitive level, I'll put an example. I didn't realize there was two competitive waves in my race. I came third in my wave, but I was 12th overall. So there was...
Oh, shit. So second wave was ridiculously fast.
Yeah, basically. And then when I looked at the names in there's a couple of names like Thomas OCR from Poland.
Okay.
He won it.
So,
you know,
so he's the ex-European champion at long course.
Yeah. And he was 3 minutes ahead of me on a 6K. So it just shows you how quick those boys are moving. And I know you could say, okay, Jack, if you're in the same wave as those, you then obviously race to that level, don't you? So you do get dragged up.
Yeah, you pull yourself up.
I'm nowhere near racing 5 minutes quicker on that course. You know, like I was already, especially obstacle-wise, I was like at the point where I was on a limit. Maybe running, I would have been a bit quicker maybe, but hey, it is
what
it is.
If you said you passed every obstacle and did one or two retries, you're not going to make up five minutes in that.
No, definitely not, which proves to me that running is where it's at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And possibly knowing the course, you know, obviously helps if those guys there. I mean, it was clear that the two guys that beat me in mine wave, they had been there, done it before. Do you know what I mean? It was clear. They just knew what they were doing. Whereas I was always like, what do I do? Where do I go? You know,
It's like Spartan. How many Spartan races have we done? 50, 60 plus each.
Just natural, isn't it?
You just know what's coming. You know that kind of flow to a Spartan course, especially in the UK.
Yeah, especially UK. When you know the person that set the course out, you know there's going to be, oh, round the corner here, there's going to be that, barbed wire because it's those sort of woods.
You have an idea of kind of what's coming, whereas in Poland, they've got Runmageddon and Barbarian Race. They're the two kind of series of races that go around the country. They didn't have Spartan there last year. I'm not 100% sure why they didn't have Spartan.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've got it there this year, but they have before. So I'm not sure why it's not in the Eastern European right now, but it might be something to do with whatever. Maybe they're using it for something else. But so they're the two big races or series races in Poland. And you're right, the technical level of those races is very hard. I would say that is as a more experienced OCR racer, that is a race that like you would want to try. I wouldn't recommend it to a newbie.
No, not at all.
Just because it is very technical. But you're right. If you're Polish and that's your local race and you're going to go do it for fun, that's your technical level.
Yeah, you're going to get better at that. And that to them, the super thing is, to them, it might be like, oh, it's just too easy. You know, like you just don't know, do you? Like we're sitting here going, oh my God, it's very technical. They're going, really? That's a rig that we have in every race, you know. That goes back to the whole rope climb monkey bar thing, right? We're so used to monkey bars and rope climbs, you know. It's like, oh, how many times can you do a rope climb? And how many times can you do a... They're going, how many times can you do those UFOs? I mean, there was one rig and it was basically, it was almost like a high, medium, low rig. And it was all one bar and it was a rope. So imagine how you start to get to ape hanger. So a swingy rope, UFOs, into climbing holds, into balls. And it was 6, 6, 6. Do you know what I mean? So 6 UFOs, 6 climbing holds, going down, and then 6 balls at a low. So you had to stay like in this position, pass, hit the bell. Yeah. I mean, I went back and tried it out of race period, and I realised after a while you could swing through, you could hit the bell, blah, blah, blah. But that was only after 10 minutes of playing on it. In the race, it was a much safer position, right?
And also, how many people are really going to have that technical skill or the grip strength to swing through and go for the bell? Not many.
No.
Like, if you're talking about open and age group, like, we're looking at this race as, like, your general local race. This is your local race and you're going to go do it for fun.
Yeah.
It's probably got quite advanced OCR rigs, especially by the sounds of it. The other obstacles, I'm sure, they're just grinders and they're... maybe some balance stuff.
What I found is that, and this tends to happen, and you probably vouch for this as well, take Spartan out of it, because I know we've done a lot of Spartan European races, but any other European race you've done, like an OCR or whatever, what the Europeans seem to do, and I know the Holland and Netherlands, they're very good at this. They'll take a standard obstacle, let's just say rope, right? And they'll flip that on its head. So they'll make a very simple obstacle a little bit more technical by adding an element. For instance, did you see... like literally when I got into OCR 2015-16, they used to put the UFO spacer ships in the middle of the rope. So you had to go up and over the ship, you know, like that sort of thing. You know, Weaver, you know, a simple up, down. No, what was a simple straight, then went up, then it went up, down. Now 2.0, a lot of them like mine has at Field, has a net in the middle. So you have to go in, out, out, under the net, in, out, in. So it's taking those old obstacles. I know one that these guys had, I didn't actually do it, I saw it on the Instagram afterwards, is their rope, they've got like a plank of wood that's got ropes coming out of it. So you climb the plank of wood up, hit a bell, back down, like a ladder basically, but it's only got rope holds. So I find they're very much more imaginative how they do their obstacles, you know, and that to them. So even their simple obstacles are advanced, you know.
They're a bit more creative, I'd say. Creative. And I would 100% say, if we're talking European races, the best, for me, one of the best formats out there is toughest race.
Yeah.
Because you've got the options. You've got the two.
Yeah.
Normally with all of their obstacles, you've got, like, with the rope climb, they do have rope climb, but they also have the salmon ladder.
Yeah.
So if you want to do it quicker, you can do the salmon ladder and you can take the easy lane.
Yeah.
And if you do the rope climb, you have to go under the crawl, which takes a lot longer.
Yeah. I love that concept. That. What a clever concept that is. And I'm all right in thinking there's no other company that do that.
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure per se, but that's the only race that I've personally done that has that concept, which I don't understand why other companies don't go, that works really well. It's just, I get it. Like, maybe they haven't got enough space. Toughest are a quite big company and they have put a lot of effort into it. But it just kind of negates, like, we're talking about the Polish race being very technical and then maybe some UK races not being technical. Well, if you can mix those, you can have a not so hard lane and then a hard lane, but you get rewarded for the hard lane. I kind of see that to be
I
a bit
suppose
of a better
the key is
thing.
there. The key is there. It's a bit like the whole debate about penalties, isn't it? I suppose if you're going to have an easy lane and a hard lane, the hard lane needs to be hard enough that you're rewarded well enough, and the easy lane needs to be not. It can be easy. The obstacle will be easy, but you still have to do something that takes the same amount of time. Does that make sense? So, like, if it's a rope climb into a crawl, that's great because most people can rope climb standard. Most people can crawl under a net. It's shit. No one wants to do that. But if you can salmon ladder, then of course you don't have to do the crawl. You just do four up on the salmon ladder, hit the bell, then you're clear to go. So you have a
I
massive
think,
advantage by doing the salmon ladder, but also there's a disadvantage if you fail.
of course, like you've got to do
The
whatever the
crawl.
penalty is. The crawl is a retry. I'm not too, I can't remember. I haven't done it
What
for
would be kind of
ages.
cool is if you tried the salmon ladder and failed it, then you have to go and do the rope and the crawl that the previous person's already tried.
To be fair, I can't remember specifically what the process is if you fail at a toughest. So I don't know if it's you lose a band or you have to do the crawl.
Penalty,
I
yeah,
think
maybe.
you just go. Sh I think you
We
have to go
shall find
straight to the
out.
crawl.
We shall find out. Anyone
Yes,
out there, let us know, please.
but anyway, we divulge. So Poland, you would rate it as a good experience, and
He
you
means
would suggest
digress, by the
people to
way.
do
He means digress, not divulge.
Digress.
He's making words up again.
It's true.
Bloody hell, Jack Carpenter giving you grammar tips. Jesus Christ.
Oh, now we've hit an all-time
It's
low.
taken 155 episodes, but it's worth it. It's happened.
So you'd recommend it as a good race, yeah?
Oh, massively. Look, I think as well,
Rumblegeddon.
the plus points as well, right? Look, for us, and this is what's even weirder. It was cheaper for me to get out to Rumageddon in Warsaw, fly, hotel, race, and get back than it was to travel to Ireland, Scotland, or Wales for Spartan.
That just makes me feel sad that
Yeah.
the travel in the UK is ridiculously
Travel,
expensive. It's not.
accommodation, petrol, add all those things in. I was less than 50 quid. Do you know what I mean? Plus the race is
It's
30 odd
actually
quid.
hard. It's actually hard. But well, we'll keep it in the European range. We'll talk a bit about Spartan. So Spartan released a bit more information on their European Championship, the
Spartan
qualification
related any
process.
information? Christ.
Yes, a bit more on. So the European champs this year is in Andorra. Again, could be a snowy race.
Could be.
You've already been training for the snow, Jack.
I
So this
didn't do any
could
training.
be one for
Don't
you.
get me wrong, I didn't do any training.
So
You misjudged me.
from my understanding, the general championship races, because they are having two types now, so they're having the 3K championship events and they're having the classic beast championship or super championship distance, whichever one they pick them. So the 3K events at the world champs and the Europeans, I believe, are invite only. And we have no information about the 3K because no information from Spartan has gone out apart from they did a test event in America
What did you think to that?
last weekend.
Let's divulge.
Looks okay.
What did you think of that particular course?
Looked okay. I guess the
My
American
first
one.
thoughts wasn't very many obstacles. The only obstacle I could see on there, as Brits would call obstacles, was the multi-rig. Now,
Yeah,
there was a lot of
so
crawling, a lot of shooting, a lot of carrying. There wasn't a lot of obstacles on that list. Admittedly, everyone's gone, oh yeah, it was really good. So we just don't know because we weren't there and didn't see it. But in my opinion, there wasn't as many obstacles as I thought they'd put in that actual 3K.
No, so it was at the Jacksonville course, which has notoriously been the start of
Flat and fast, isn't it?
the US season. Normally it's been home to their kind of elite series, but obviously last year it kind of changed to the age group series, which it was the first age group race here. And this was just a kind of like a test event. There was only 45 age group slots available for women and 45 for men. There was no qualification. What interested me that Robert Killian went and raced the classic events. All the names, Dirk York and the other names that I've kind of recognized, none of them tried the 3K. I'm not too sure why. I don't know if it clashed or anything like that, but just interesting that they didn't jump in on that one and give it a go.
Yeah, I
But
mean, no offense to people that did take part, because I'm sure they're all wicked athletes within their own right. But to me, like you say, there wasn't any real big names jump out that tried it, was there?
no, I don't, it doesn't mean the guys who ran weren't
Oh
like
no, not
top-level
at all. They
guys,
would
but
probably kick our ass. But what I'm saying is,
yeah.
like, from your typical Atkins, your VJs, you know, like your general, oh
Yeah.
yeah, that's who we want to see race on this course. You know, none of those guys did it.
No, and I
Travel,
would have
maybe.
kind of, yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, Killian was at the race, Derek York was at the race. Like, obviously they chose to run the more classic events, which is fine. It's totally, they can do whatever they would like. I would just have loved to have seen one of them take on this kind of course, just to give us a better idea of like
Where it's
what the
at.
level is. Like, how fast is fast on this kind of course? Are we talking 15 minutes? Are we talking
Yeah,
more
you
than
almost
that?
need a
So,
VJ to find out what the standard is, you know.
yeah, but
So is that
so
3K part of the
that's
series?
no, this was a
No,
test event,
just fun.
so
Okay, probably why then.
Probably why, I'm guessing so. They made it very clear in the sign up that it was not part of the series, it is just a test event. So just kind of having a little look at the Jacksonville results. So it was held on the Friday.
Which is what
Maybe
they
the
said they were
reason
going to do.
why, yeah. So maybe the reason why it wasn't taken up. Maybe the guys wanted to do race on the Saturday and Sunday, or maybe flights wouldn't allow them to actually get there.
Yeah, work and what have you.
Doesn't seem like there's too much information. There's only a couple of, oh, there we go. Well, annoyingly, the Spartan website is only showing two people. So I don't know if that's correct or not. 29 minutes and 36 minutes are the times on there. Have to look more into that. I don't think that's correct. But anyway, back on track to Andorra and the European champs. So the 3K invitation only. So we won't really look at that too much because there's not
We
much
know
info about
nothing.
that.
We literally know nothing.
Yes. But in terms of the classic Spartan Championship distances, it looks like we've moved over to what I would call a UTMB stone collection. So for those who don't know, UTMB, you can do races to qualify and you collect like stones, not physical
Points,
ones. I think it's just points.
yeah.
And now Spartan seem to be using something very similar, where each race, it doesn't matter of your finish position, it just means you have to take part in that race. You collect a point for it. So they have broken down the qualifying points as a regular season event. That means probably any classic Spartan distance, sprint, super beast, and maybe an ultra. I don't know, it doesn't di differentiate, but we'll go with the classic ones. So you get 1 point just for doing the race. If you take part in an elite or age group series event, if they are denoted to be a series event, it's 3 points. If you take part in a wild card event, you get 3 points. Wild card will be designated by Spartan beforehand. If you take part in a regional championship event, you get 5 points. So this also includes London last year. So if you raced, Spartan European Championships Southeast in London last year. You have qualified for European champs this year already without racing. You already have 5 points. Interestingly, the Spartan Trifecta World Championships went. But interestingly, on their qualifying points, the Spartan Trifecta Worlds only earns you 3 points.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why.
Okay, so you work twice your ass off and you get less points.
Well, yes, given that you actually raced 3 races in the weekend, you will earn 1 point for every race completed.
Okay, interesting.
So, interesting. I don't know why that's not 5 points in automatic entry, but it is what it is. So, there have been 2 wildcard events designated in Europe. The Zandvoort Beast Elite and Age Group. Kazancha Gora Beast Elite and Age Group. So they are the denoted wildcard events already. So Elite and Age Group always earn the same points. Doesn't matter if you're in the Age Group or the Elite, it's still 3 points for racing. So very interestingly, a competitor may earn points in both categories. So you may earn points as an Elite or an Age Grouper.
Right.
However, elite athletes also racing against age group is considered unsportsmanlike and poor form, except in the case where an elite athlete intends to make a permanent downward shift to the age group category. Very interesting. So in terms of rules, it does not say it is outlawed, but it is considered unsportsmanlike and poor form. So that kind of puts a pin in a lot of questions or talks around the shift of people between different divisions.
I suppose they're getting a lot of questions saying, well, can we still go to an age group, aren't they, I suppose?
Yeah, it's always been an interesting one. And you pretty much think now that your points don't matter where you earn them.
Yeah.
You could earn all your points as an elite and then race as an age group at a championship.
Yeah.
You could, if like that's an option, or you could earn all your points as age group and race as an elite, because before you had to qualify in the elite wave to be an elite and you had to qualify in the age group to go age group. So very interesting.
And on top of all this, Andorra is the same weekend as Hungary anyway, so it's
yes, that was what we were going to get to. So obviously Andorra is clashing with European OCR championships in Hungary.
Yep.
Obviously something that can't be changed, and
it could be helped. You'd hope
now that could be helped, but to be fair, they did Andorra as the European champs in 2017.
Yep.
So I'm not 100% sure why they're going back again. I'm guessing because Andorra is quite a sizable event. They have the actual area is pretty huge. They utilize a massive, like, ski kind of slopes, and there's a big car park. It is quite, like, centralized and quite self-sufficient. Andorra is a little bit difficult to get to. Yeah. I flew into Barcelona and drove to Andorra. And then stayed in Andorra the night before, and then raced, and then drove back to Barcelona. And had like a week there when I did in 2017.
Yeah.
But it will be an amazing event, amazing venue. It would definitely be like top level. But
it's tough. It's a tough venue, isn't it?
Oh, it was brutal. One of the hardest races I've done. But I kind of thought they maybe would look at a new location. There's a lot of great beasts races or locations in Europe, and I think because the year before Andorra they did England. So 2016 was in Scotland, then it was in Andorra, then we went to France.
And then it so what's the bet next year will be in France again?
Well, I don't know if they're following that kind of thing. I would love to see them go to do maybe Holland, the Zandvoort races, because it's just totally different. Or maybe Italy, do one of their series events, or even they could use Barcelona. Or Tate. Well, that'd be a lovely one. But so it's just interesting they've used the same venue, but I would have loved to have a different venue so we could have had a different weekend. So people don't have to pick. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And I think this 3K event, the invitations are going to be huge to see what kind of elite top level athletes get invited to the Spartan, and what athletes, if they don't get invited, maybe make the trip to Hungary, because it is going to divide, because normally we do see some athletes doing both, but
not this year.
We'll be interesting. No, not this year. It'll be interesting to kind of see. So that's the kind of little wrap up from European stuff. Obviously, you've mentioned this weekend in the UK, we have Nuts. Winter Nuts. So they've
gonna
got
be cold.
Here it's going to be freezing, because it's literally absolutely Baltic down here on the coast.
Same as here, mate. It hasn't got above four all week.
Well, here is, we're like 7, 8, or 9. Yeah. So warm, but the wind coming off the sea.
Cold.
Is, it's awful. I went for a run the other day and I did my long run on Monday and I did 20 miles. And every time I was hitting my turnarounds on the loops, I was getting full headwind, 15 miles an hour in the face. And I was this sucks. No. And I was trying to go at a pace as well, and it was horrible. But it was good to get done. So yeah, you've got that one this weekend. I think it's going to be quite a busy competitive race for the 7K, because that's a technical race. And then I think we've got a few kind of other top level guys going in for like the four lap one, because that seems to be the bigger other race. And then you've got the limitless race, which people are going for as well. It's going to be
Libby's going
brutal
for that.
A brutal one to do in the cold. So good luck to everyone doing that. What else has happened? So bit of triathlon, Arena Games, if anybody has watched it on YouTube, it's pretty easy to watch. So the format is the esports format, where they do it in a pool, and by the pool they have bikes on Zwift, and they have the air runners, or the curved runners, set up on Zwift. So Lionel Sanders, predominantly massive long course athlete, jumped in because it was in Montreal. Obviously he's Canadian, he jumped in and tried out for the first time, and while his swimming looked like my swimming, pretty bad, he made up for it massively in the bike. He set like a bike course record on his first bike of the first stage, which was crazy. And then the second stage, so I think he came out of the water, I think it was 10 people. He came out of the water 9th. And by the end of the bike, he was first.
Jesus.
It was disgusting the amount of wattage he was putting out. He was dropping it, and his face was just looking like he was gonna
die,
break something. But he went all in. But I was lucky enough last year to watch it live in Germany when I went to the Munich race.
That's right.
In the same park they had the Arena Games happening in the pool. So if anybody is thinking of doing Munich, check to see if the Arena Games is happening in the Olympic Park. And basically, you can race in the morning, and then you can stay in the park, and you can watch the Arena Games in the afternoon. Which is what I did, which is pretty cool. I literally just finished my race, had a quick shower, watched Arena Games, and sat in.
I do like how triathlon are adapting.
Just
Moving with the times. I can't ever see it happening in OCR. Our idea of moving with the times is giving us a pistol. I can't see it. It would never happen because we haven't got. Well, I suppose it could happen. You could do your run. I mean, I suppose you could make it work. You could do your run on curve machines and then do a rig, and then back on the run and do a rig. That'd be actually quite cool, wasn't it? And they're all in one room.
So like High Rock style, where they did the Elite 12, yeah, I think it was a few years ago.
Have like you could do like a lane of rigs, couldn't you? Like bam, bam, bang, back on the row machine, bam, bam, bang, back on the row machine. Mandatory obstacles. Oh, that'd be quite fun.
Maybe you've just come up with an idea.
Yeah, I have. After poo-pooing it, I'm like, actually,
there you go. Maybe you could do a run, rig, spear at the end.
Yeah.
Run, rig.
Back on the run. Shit. UK OCR listen to this podcast. They're going to nick that idea. Ian, they'll come up with that, won't they? Bollocks. Mine. It's mine. We'll tag that. Patent.
Franchise tag.
Franchise TM.
So, yeah, that was a little something that happened. Obviously, other sport, Man United won a cup.
Oh, bollocks, dude. What a cup. Against Newcastle. Yeah, well done.
Well,
against Newcastle.
After 6 years, mate, after 6 years, I just thought we'd have to sneak that in there. Really.
Hey, Spurs won a game. We beat Chelsea for the first time in like 10 years.
Well, I was going to ask you. I wasn't going to ask you if you'd ever won a cup, because we know that's not true.
One, actually, Wormington Cup with Wando Ramos about 12 years ago. So,
lovely, lovely.
We're living off that, all right? We're living off that in 1991 and Gary Lineker, all right? Leave us alone.
91?
Yeah.
Wait, that's longer than 12 years.
It's coming home this year. FA Cup. Oh, Sheffield tonight.
Easy win for Sheffield.
Oh, you reckon? It probably will be, to be fair. Depends if Conte's back, we're in trouble. Gov Games, Luke. Tell me a bit more about Gov Games. What is this all about? I see so many athletes going out there. I'm like, what is this all about? Where's my invite?
So, Gov Games. This is an interesting event held in Dubai, I believe. It's happened multiple times before. It's never really happened with
athletes,
international teams, which is
which is so kind from of what I get from what year. I get, it was originally designed for like the armed forces, police, fire, people within the government that work in Dubai, right? That's originally what it was for.
So yeah, it was kind of for, they could have teams from different branches of the government,
police or whatever.
Yeah, so they bring, it's pretty much a, Gov Games is a series of physical and mental challenges that bring together people from the UAE and beyond. So pretty much they are having this first year where they're inviting like international teams. They do have a few different categories of the Gov Games as well. So they've got the government teams, which they're still holding true to the core original principle of having teams from different departments. They're actually having community teams as well, which I believe there's teams from the UAE community, people who live in the area, and they're having international teams where these are people made up of teams not from the UAE and they are flying in.
Don't they represent a city? So like the UK one is Leeds, isn't it? And then obviously Colorado is the US one. You know,
yes.
I think so that's the idea, isn't it?
They got the government one
is Miami,
Battle of the Government, which is the government teams, Battle of the Community, and then Battle of the Cities. Kind of interestingly, there isn't too much specific information on the teams, as in who's taking part.
Yeah, is interesting because they haven't really promoted like that, have they?
No, the majority of promotion I think I've seen is from the athletes who are going out. Obviously, Team Colorado from the US are there. Yeah. You've got, I believe, another team from the US.
Hunter's team, so, Miami, is it?
Yeah, Miami. You've got the Danes. Leon is out there with a few other Danish athletes. My Wi-Fi has decided to stop. Interesting. So it is made up. There is some obstacles, like more classic obstacles in there. There's some kind of more challenge and mind obstacles that do make up the different events. It sounds like it's going to be the biggest and the best kind of one they're going to put on, because like I say, they've had it recently. If you want to see some of the past stuff, they've got a YouTube channel. They've got some information on there of what it was before. But it looks like it's going to be kicking off soon. I think, is it this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend. So we'll obviously learn a lot more. Maybe we can reach out to Leon or one of those guys out there and see if we can find a bit more information.
Yeah, find out a little bit more, maybe get a bit more behind the scenes footage of the events. Just as I'm trying to find out more information, my voila. So
Voila.
voila. So
What
people from all
do
walks of life are coming together to represent their city. So assemble team of six. Three of the six members should be citizens of the city.
you mean? Okay.
Remaining can either be residents or citizens. So it sounds like three of the six people going have to be from the same city. And they should be having three additional people added on. There is a team manager who is in charge of pretty much most of the logistical side, and there'll be a team captain as well. So the required mental agility, ability to work as one team in harmony, tactics and strategical thinking, problem solve, communication and coordination, ability to perform under pressure, required physical agility, running capacity, 1K in a minimum 6 minute time. So hopefully most of the people will be able to do that. Physical and full body strength, ability to balance, ability to swim. Interesting. No fear of heights. Where are they sending them? Where are they sending them? Because that
Could be
gives me
anywhere in Dubai. Everywhere's pretty high.
well, yeah, true, but that just gives me an idea that they're going to be giving them a swim-related task and also some kind of scaling or climbing-related task where they have to get to the top of some building. If they have got the Burj Khalifa, it's going to be carnage. But yeah, very interesting, very kind of out there. It's a bit more what you kind of see. We've had a lot of like TV shows and stuff that have revolved around obstacle style or events and stuff that are like more agility and mind based and challenging. So there's 28 international teams that are going. So I think this is where most of the international kind of interest will be on these teams. Obviously, there's a few more people that everybody's heard of in these teams, and they'll be taking it. So I believe the community one had a qualification period as well. So a few teams that are out there, I believe they may have already qualified, as in they had to do a pre-round to get into that one, which is interesting.
Right.
There's 27 of those teams, and there's one event. The international teams doesn't give me an event criteria for those.
So basically, watch this space. It sounds like it could be quite good fun. It could be like a another one of those sort of like almost like watching the CrossFit games. It could be quite exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think obviously Dubai, I think they're obviously making it into a kind of a bit more of a global thing, which is great for them to kind of open this great format up to someone else.
It's good for our
So
sport
yeah,
as well, isn't it? If like, say
of
for instance,
course.
like my company, Feel Fit, or Dave Peters down at Rumble, take that idea and branch with it. Obviously that then I think in that sense it's good for putting things there like out there, do that. Look how Ninja
Yeah,
Warriors helped, look
of
Beastmaster, things like
course.
that,
Yeah, it's definitely a start point, and
Survivor.
I'm interested to see the footage or coverage. Normally, Dubai do quite well with kind of getting stuff online or
Yeah,
having some
100%.
good coverage. So, fingers crossed we get some live stuff. But yeah,
No
interesting.
worries. Right, Luke, and on that note, that movie means one thing. I promise we won't leave it another 5 months before we do another podcast. Do apologize, listeners. We love having you.
Peace. We'll be back.